Rev up your Father's Day gift giving at SummitRacing.com. Shop tons of unique automotive-themed gifts, plus parts, tools, and accessories from our massive inventory. Update Dad's wardrobe with a new shirt, jacket, hoodie, or hat. Redecorate his garage or man cave with a cool sign, clock, chair, or car-themed collectible. Or give the perfect card, a Summit Racing gift card. Shop SummitRacing.com today for great gearhead gifts, plus enroll in the rewards program to get more power in every purchase.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I'm joined by my colleague, Michael Yon, war correspondent, who is in Panama City, Panama. He's been there for some days following the course of a migrant family he met in Colombia. I want to begin the story for when Michael first met them in Colombia and then the extremely treacherous journey this young family, originally from Haiti, has taken so far, their ambition to arrive at the American border and cross into the United States. That's their ambition. A mother, her 16-year-old daughter, and her 12-year-old son. Michael, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Where did you first meet this family, and what did you learn about them when you first met them in Colombia? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening from Panama City. We first met them in a place called Nicocli in Colombia. It's on the northern side of Colombia. It's right on the water. You can see it on Google Earth, Nicocli. And there was a lot of Haitians and Cubans and people from Africa, some Nepalese, whom I spoke with as well, and Indians were preparing to get on boats to go over to a place called Copacabana, right? So we went first in the boats, and then the boats came back and got them because the smugglers don't let the migrants go on the same boats as people like us. And so we went first, and then they followed. But while we were still in Nicocli, we talked with the young girl named Madese. She's 16 years old. I was with a Japanese journalist named Masako Ganaha, who's back in Tokyo now, and Chuck Holton, who's an American war correspondent, former Army Ranger. So it was us three there. And Masako Ganaha, she told me, she goes, I would like to talk with that young girl, which was Madese. So Masako walked over and started talking with her and translating back and forth using Google Translate. But as it turns out, she can write in English. Madese just doesn't actually speak English. But we communicated in that place just by the water on two different days. And then the last time, you know, we exchanged contact information, for instance, phone numbers and email and that sort of thing. And then we didn't see Madese for another about 20, we didn't hear from her for about another 27 days, right? So that was about March 3rd was the last time that we saw Madese. And then she came up online about 5 days ago or so, and maybe six now. And she had sent a message to Masako now in Japan, and Masako immediately called me and said, hey, we've got Madese again. She's communicating. She's alive, right? Because they had walked in through the Darien Gap. As you know, the Darien Gap on the north side of Colombia, which feeds into Panama, is 60 miles of roadless jungle. It's really the jungle of death is what people have called it since at least the 60s. And I don't know how far back that goes, but it's they'll call it the jungle of death. And, you know, it's mountainous, very serious mountains and rainforest, every kind of snake and scorpion and centipede is out there, as well as FARC guerrillas. And also, Colombia has become sort of the Afghanistan of South America insofar as cocaine trade goes. Except, you know, of course, Afghanistan is opium. But so many of the drug smugglers also go through the gap. And they smuggle in various ways. But so basically, every day, hundreds of Haitians and Cubans and Indians and people from Congo and everywhere else, they go through the Darien Gap and many die. So finally, when Madese, 16 years old.
Just a minute, Michael, just a minute. Was she going in, her mother and her brother, were they with a large party? Did they have people to go with as they plunged into the Darien Gap?
Yes, we estimate 70 to 80, because that's the size of the boats. And then they go straight, they get straight from the boats and they go straight into the jungle within about a half hour, because the jungle is really right almost where the boats drop you off. And so we actually walked into the jungle for about a kilometer, but on a different day. And
how were they dressed, Michael? How were they prepared for crossing a jungle that's filled with all kinds of horrors? Were they ready for it?
No. Some people were, but I would say two-thirds were not even remotely prepared. Many were going out in sandals. And we're talking, 60 miles of jungle that's, raining and slippery, and people fall and die out there. And people did die on their party. It looks like about 12 so far. We don't have the exact details yet. But so, and many were actually raped. And every woman that goes through there can expect to be raped. And everybody will be robbed, right? And so murder is common out there. There's no law out there whatsoever. And so they went into the jungle. We didn't hear from Mede, say, for about 27 days. We flew ahead to Panama, though, to try to intercept them. And so we went then south into Panama, down near a town called Yavita, which is on the end of the Pan Am Highway. It's the end of the highway. And we found the camp that they were in, but we didn't know she was in there. They did make it through, and they were held in that camp for some days, the camp that we found, but the Panamanian border police would not let us in. And then the Panamanian authorities then bust the Haitians and the Cubans and the rest. They bust them up to the Costa Rican border. Now, about 5 days ago, there was a news report that Haitians had gotten into a big fight with CINEFRONT, which is the Panamanian border police, and about five of the border police were wounded. And the Haitians then walked for about a day and got into Costa Rica. Costa Rica authorities then picked them all up, sent them back to Panama. This is the group that Medese was with, as it turned out.
And how large a group was it now, Michael? You said that they first went in with 70. Do you have a sense of how large are they all Haitians moving together?
I do not know. In fact, when I fly ahead to intercept Medese and her mother and her brother, we've been chatting today for quite a bit, actually. Then I'll get all this down on recording and whatnot.
All right,
I've been asking them the other questions in the interim.
So let me understand. They've crossed through the jungle. They reached the end of the Panama Highway. That's the break. That's the gap from Panama to Colombia. You have to walk through the jungle. There's no roadway. They reached there, and they were taken into custody by the Panamanian authorities. Is that what happened to them?
That's right. So the Panamanian authorities, as they emerged from the Darien Gap, now, according to Medese and her mother, roughly 12 in their group died.
Uh-huh.
Two women were two women were swept away in a river. Another man drowned. Two pregnant women died somehow. They don't know how. And about approximately 10-month-old baby died as the baby came out of the jungle on the Panamanian side and was still alive when it emerged and then died in front of them. And then the others, they said, died of some sort of sickness. They weren't shot or anything like that. But at some point when they were inside the Darien Gap, Medese's mother said that a bunch of armed men came out with rifles and started actually raping the women. Did not rape Medese, according to the mother, because her mother gave the robbers a gold necklace. And so, and they did not take her iPhone, actually. And I asked, why didn't they take your iPhone? And they said, because, the robbers said they can't use the iPhones anyway. When you steal them, they're going to get bricked eventually. So they couldn't use the iPhone, so they didn't steal those. So she still has her iPhone.
All right. Then, they reached the town, and the Panamanian authorities intercept them. Is that why they were in the camp? They were detained by Panama.
Yeah, and once you come out of the Darien Gap on the Panamanian side, you're not going to get by without getting caught unless
right.
you're like a Crow or Rambo. It's just, it's too difficult to get through. So they got, and they want to get picked up. So they get picked up and they get checked out and they stayed in the camp. And then they stayed there for a few days, and then they got, bussed up by bus. The Panamanian authorities put them on the bus and took them to the Costa Rican border. And that's where they got into the fight with the Panamanian authorities, of which Medese sent me some videos. They weren't actually fighting in the videos, but they were arguing, and then fought their way through the Panamanian CINEFRONT, which is the border police, injured about five of them, got into Costa Rica. Costa Rica then detained the Haitians, sent them. This is in Panamanian news, by the way, and so it's in an online news report, and then sent the Haitians back to Panama, where they were out processed. and then sent back to Costa Rica. And so that's when Medici contacted us. She was in San Jose at that point.
Okay, so they're in San Jose, Costa Rica, and they're being detained by the Costa Rican authorities, first by the Panamanian authorities, then by the Costa Rican authorities. Are they being charged money when they're detained? Is there a price to cross these countries?
They didn't have any money left, and in fact, they then pushed them up to Nicaragua.
So they bust them from the Panama-Costa Rican border to the Nicaraguan border. Is that what happened next?
Right. So as of about two nights ago, they were still in northern Nicaragua, right south of the Honduran border.
Right.
And the mother said that they had not eaten in 2 days, but they didn't actually ask for any money or anything like that. They're tough. You know, I mean, they didn't ask for anything, but they said they had not eaten in 2 days and they just want to keep going north.
Are they with a large party, or are these three people traveling by themselves? Do we know?
I do not know, but a couple of messages have come in just since we've been talking, and it's probably her.
All right. I want to get the journey, because the last time you told me they're in Tegucigalpa, right? They've made it to Tegucigalpa.
That's where they're at now, Honduras, right.
So they've made it through Nicaragua to Honduras. That's where they are now. And the three of them are still together. A 12-year-old Miguel, a 16-year-old Medese, and their mother. The three of them, they're out of money. Is that correct? No money left.
Right. And I don't know how they're affording to eat. Now, her spirit seemed high. For instance, I chatted with Medese for a couple of hours today. She can write in English fluently. She doesn't actually speak English, but she can write it. And so we were chatting quite a while, and I asked her to put her mother on. Her mother was busy doing something. And so I asked, you know, Medese what she wants to do if she can get into the United States. And she told me places where she wants to go, where she already has family up there. And I asked her, what does she want to do? Does she want to be a doctor, or does she want to be a writer? What does she want to do? And she said she wants to be a pediatrician. And so that's what her sights are set on, to get to America and become a pediatrician. And she said her brother, 12-year-old, would like to be an engineer. I asked what type, but she didn't know, but just engineer. So they've got their sights set on doing more than delivering newspapers.
This is Michael Yan. Michael _ Yan is his Facebook address. He's a war correspondent. He's in Panama City. He's following the journey as best he can of a family originally from Haiti, who spent some time in South America, I believe in Chile, traveled to Colombia by bus, and are now walking and traveling across the whole length of Central America, headed to Mexico. So when we come back, we'll learn more about this large journey, this pilgrimage that people are making from South America. This is not just from starting in Central America. They're crossing Central America. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.
Plan B made over-the-counter emergency contraception legal more than 20 years ago. It's a safe, effective backup birth control option that helps prevent pregnancy before it starts by temporarily delaying ovulation. Plan B is the number one OBGYN recommended brand, and the only one that you can find at all major retailers in all 50 U.S. states. There's no minimum age requirement, and you don't need an ID to buy it. You can order it through DoorDash and other major delivery platforms, too. That's freedom to be. Use as directed.
Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
Este calor no da tregua y tu paciencia ya se agotó. Es hora de encontrar algo que de verdad te refresque. Todo o nada en 7-Eleven con alitas sin hueso bañadas en salsa de miel picante. Dulces, picantes y perfectas. Disponible en 7-Eleven por solo $5 con 7 Rewards. Visita tu 7-Eleven local de Columbus y satisface ese antojo hoy. Válido hasta el 23 de junio de 2026. Hasta agotar existencias. Tiendas participantes. Ver términos en la app.